A certain man, many years ago, decided to leave his happy, quiet home for a fling in the glamorous city of sport and gambling and pleasure. This man's home was in Jerusalem. The city of glamour was the border city of Jericho. On the journey, he was waylaid, beaten, robbed, and left for dead. Now, this is the intriguing story Jesus told to a lawyer who had asked him a very foolish question, recorded in Luke chapter 10. We'd like to have you turn to it. While trying to show how smart he was, this lawyer made a stupid fool of himself. He wanted to receive eternal life as an inheritance by doing something. And Jesus told this cocky lawyer that if he wanted to be saved by works, he must keep God's law perfectly, which he summed up in these words: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Unable to do this, the man, trying to excuse himself, said, But who is my neighbor? And it is then that Jesus tells the story of the man on the Jericho road to illustrate that a man cannot be saved by religion, by works, by human righteousness, or the deeds of the law, but only by the free grace of God. The man in Luke 10, verse 30 to 37, was walking on the wrong road. It was the broad road, the road that led down and not up. He was going in the wrong direction, for he had his back to Jerusalem, the city of God, and his face toward Jericho, the city of the curse. And on the way, he was surprised by the thieves who left him lying in the road for dead. And then a priest came along, but he could not help him. Now, the priest, we said, represents religion. He was in charge of the religious life of Israel. But religion could not help this man. And then the next person to come along was a Levite, the representative of the law. And we take up the story from this point, Luke 10, verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. The priest was himself going in the wrong direction, for our verse says that he too was going down. How then can the blind lead the blind? And so, unable to help the poor fellow, he merely looked upon him and passed on. And now comes the next traveler. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and he passed by on the other side. Now, the Levite stopped to inspect the poor fellow, for he came and looked on him, that's more than the priest did, but then passed on without any further interest. He may have stopped long enough to give the poor fellow a little speech on the folly of traveling on this wrong road, and he should have known better, and let this be a lesson to you in the future. After all, he might have said, you are only getting what you deserve. Don't look to me for pity. Now, we believe the Levite is a picture of the law, which can condemn and accuse but cannot save, can convict but cannot convert, can scold but cannot comfort. The law can tell you how to walk, but it cannot tell you how to get up after you're down. It can warn you to stay off the Jericho road, but it cannot assist you after you have been beaten and robbed. And that is also all the law can do for us. The law cannot save and was never given to save a sinner, but to condemn the transgressor. For Paul says in Galatians 3:10, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Paul says, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain, Galatians 2:21. And in 3:21, Paul says, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. And so the Levite, the law, passed by on the other side. The law is so holy it must punish, not save the transgressor. The law can show you how sick you are, how you are wounded, but you must look elsewhere for relief and a cure and salvation. Do you, like the deluded lawyer, want to be saved by the law, by your works? Then remember you must keep it perfectly, constantly, uninterruptedly, and continuously. And that includes the entire law, the whole body of the law, for the law is one. And it is a unit. Now, this lawyer understood that much, that he had to love his neighbor as himself. And so to justify himself, he tried to divide his neighbors into two groups and said, who is my neighbor? Some people I like are nice people. Others I hate. I don't love them. I'll choose the ones that please me. Now, in the same way, there are some people who would divide the law into the law of Moses and the law of God, and then reject what they don't like and accept what pleases them. But there is not one verse in Scripture which makes a distinction between the law of Moses and the law of God. Paul says in Galatians 5:3, For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. To attach any saving merit to even the least ritual or ordinance is to be put under the whole body of the law. Now the failure of the priest and Levite to help the poor victim on the Jericho road only, however, prepared him for the help of another party, the Good Samaritan. The inability of the law and religion to save is designed to prepare us to receive the grace of God. Not until we are convinced that we cannot be saved by our own works, by our religion, by our good deeds, by ordinances, ritual, and ceremony, are we ready to accept the grace of God. And so after the priest and the Levite had failed to do a single thing for this poor man, there comes another. When religion and law have failed, grace steps in. And so we read these precious words. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Of all people, a Samaritan, a member of a despised race, a half-breed, a mongrel, part Gentile and part Jew, despised and rejected by every religious Israelite. You see, a Samaritan was the offspring of both Jew and Gentile. After the captivity of Israel, certain Gentiles were deported into Samaria and caused to mix and intermarry with the poorest of the Hebrews who had been left behind after the conquest of the king of the north. And this mixture were Samaritans and were carefully avoided by the Orthodox Israelites. It was for this reason that the woman of Samaria was so surprised that Jesus, a Jew, should even stoop to talk to her. And she says in John 4:9, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." It must have been a shock, therefore, to this lawyer to have Jesus speak of a Samaritan who did what the lawyer's religion and the law could not do. So we are led to ask, who does this Samaritan represent? Of course, it can be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He, too, was accused of being a half-breed, and they called him a son of fornication, John 8:31. But he was not this at all, and yet he had two natures, for he was both man and God. The Samaritan had an Israelite and a Gentile for parents, but this good Samaritan had both God and humanity for his ancestry. How fitting the figure, therefore, a Samaritan, a despised Samaritan, picture of the despised of Jesus. And now notice some striking details in the narrative. I read, "And when he came to where he was." Do you see the picture here? This poor man could not go to where Jesus was. He was half dead. And so the Samaritan went to him, came where he was. That is what the Lord Jesus did. The sinner is powerless, helpless, dead in sin. And so the Savior takes the initiative and comes to where he is, to this sinful earth on the Jericho road. But notice further that the Samaritan was looking for this man. And this was not true of the priest and the Levite, for of them we merely read, "And by chance there came down a certain priest," and likewise a Levite. By chance, they merely stumbled onto him. But the Samaritan was seeking for the victim. Now this is very evident from the fact that he was all prepared to give him help, for he carried medicine and bandages and splints, and he even had an ambulance to take the man to the hospital. It was just like him of whom Dr. Luke says in the 19th chapter, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You see, the Samaritan was a doctor, a medical doctor. He carried his medicines and instruments right with him. He was an old-fashioned family doctor, a country doctor, who still made house calls on his patients. If he had only had an office practice, what a tragedy it would have been. If he hadn't been willing to make these outside calls, this poor fellow would have died. No wonder Dr. Luke tells this story in detail, while none of the other gospel writers even mention it. And here is the doctor's own report. "He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him." Now, how was it that he had bandages with him, and a case of medicine, for he did? He had oil and wine, common mendicaments of that day. Oil was to soothe and to relieve the pain. Wine was an antiseptic, by action of the alcohol in it. All this equipment this Samaritan carried with him, always ready for any emergency, bandages, emollients, antiseptics, splints, etc. A whole kit of first aid remedies. What a picture of our wonderful Lord. As we shall see later, the oil speaks of the blessed work of the Holy Spirit in soothing and allaying the smarting of repented sin, and healing the wounds of our transgression, and giving the soothing peace and comfort of salvation, and then the wine for cleansing, its very color suggesting the precious blood that cleanses us from every sin. It was the lifeblood of the great physician himself. But there is more, for this man brought his own ambulance too, and we read that he set him on his own beat. After giving him first aid and bringing back to consciousness this man, he didn't say to him, "Now I've done all that I'm going to do for you. Now you'll have to take care of yourself from here on in. You're on your own, remember, I've saved you, but now you must keep yourself. I have saved your life, now you be careful, don't lose it again." But the doctor said no such thing. He wasn't that kind of a doctor. No, indeed not. He does not save the poor fellow and then leave him. Instead, he lifts him into his own ambulance and takes him to the hospital and then takes care of him and provides for his complete recovery. This is the record. The good doctor went to him, Luke 10:34, and bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Don't you see the picture? We are here pictured as lost, wounded, and under the sentence of death. And our great physician, Jesus Christ, saw us while in his office in heaven and said, "Father, there's a case for me down yonder on the Jericho road." And so he divested himself of the heavenly glory, put on his work clothes of humanity, and packing his grip, he accepted the ambulance of a human body from the womb of a virgin mother and went out into the darkness of the night, into a sinful world on the Jericho road to seek that which was lost. 1900 years ago, the great physician left his eternal office in the city of the king and traveled down, down, down on the Jericho road to seek for you and me. He is seeking for you right now. Won't you call out for him to help you? Now, maybe I've described your case as seen in this poor, wounded, bleeding victim of sin. You too, perhaps, have been going down the Jericho road, and today you are down. Only the bitter dregs of last night's cup remain. Your home broken up, probably, honor gone. You are discouraged, for you have resolved again and again and again to turn over a new leaf. This can't go on. But you have been helpless to keep your promises, and now everything seems gone and you're discouraged. You've tried the priest, but religion failed. Religion has said you should straighten up, join a church, practice positive thinking, get a hold of yourself. And the legalistic Levite with his tables of the law has only condemned you and said, "Well, it's your own fault, but get up and do better. Try again. Brace up and straighten up." But you know a wounded, dying man cannot get up. What he needs is help, not religious advice, not legal condemnation. And religion comes with words of advice, while the law comes with remorse. But the great physician comes with compassion to heal the broken bones, to pour in the oil of victory and the wine of joyous deliverance, and then offers to bring you safely through all the way. For he has promised, "I will never, never leave you nor forsake you." Well, our time is almost gone. We'll have to take it up right from here next week. But just a few words by way of closing and application to your own heart. I want to ask you if you see yourself as pictured in this man on the Jericho road, and you've tried everything and everything has failed, then will you admit that you cannot save yourself and submit to him? Will you let him lift you by his love and save you right where you are, right where you are? Stop struggling and start trusting in his grace and say, "Oh Lord Jesus, I know that I cannot save myself, but I do believe that you are able and you are willing. I believe the story of your death and resurrection in behalf of poor lost men and women. And now I believe your promise. Believe it to be true, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And right now, the best I know how, I'm I'm coming to thee. I'm trusting thee. I believe thy promise. I accept thy word. And I'm asking thee to save me by thy grace right now. And then trust him who said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Will you do it? Our Father, we pray thy blessing upon thy word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit. Amen.